Despite the common perception that humans are the rulers of Earth, animal-related deaths still remain high, with over 2 million fatalities being attributed to animals each year. However, because there are millions of different kinds of creatures on land, in the water, and in the air, most animals don't contribute that much, if at all, to this number, with a small handful being responsible for a disproportionate amount of these fatalities. Today, the top two contributors to this number are mosquitoes and humans. We are naturally all very familiar with these two animals, but the third most deadly animal is surprisingly much more unknown, and in some ways, unassuming, since if you saw it in the wild, you would likely think it to be harmless. This is the freshwater snail. You may never even have heard of these little guys, but they're actually quite common, being found throughout the world in various ecosystems such as lakes, ponds, rivers, dams, and streams. So far, over 5,000 species of these snails have been discovered throughout every continent except Antarctica, where it's just a tad bit too cold. Thanks to the high number of species, freshwater snails are extremely diverse, including when it comes to their size, with the smallest being tinier than a fingertip, while the largest, the island apple snail, can reach 15 centimeters or 5.9 inches in length. The shape and color of freshwater snails widely varies as well, but virtually all still retain characteristics often seen in other snails that have allowed them to be highly successful. One of these traits is, of course, the snail's hallmark shells, which are made by its mantle organ, which secretes calcium carbonate that eventually crystallizes and hardens, serving as ample protection, an attachment point for muscles, and as a calcium storage. Additionally, freshwater snails in particular have been known to be able to hibernate in unfriendly conditions and reproduce at high rates. In fact, some species of freshwater snails are known to reproduce just 7 weeks after being born and are capable of laying up to 100 eggs at a time. They also have a very flexible diet, which allows them to eat nearly everything in their environment, including algae, dead plants, dead fish, and anything else that classifies as organic garbage. All these traits and characteristics have made them highly successful, but not necessarily deadly to humans, which begs the question of why so many people perish because of freshwater snails. The answer is not something that they have, but rather something that lives in them. Flukes, or scientifically known as Digenia. This is a large class of flatworms which consists of over 6,000 species, the vast majority of which are absolutely harmless to humans. However, 12 are known to be infectious to people, with one in particular being especially nasty, Schistosoma. This fluke's reputation is one of misery and death, leading to them being referred to as blood flukes. This parasite is mainly found in Africa, Asia, and South America, where freshwater snails enable them to infect people en masse. This process happens through the release of blood fluke eggs into fresh water, primarily via previously infected people's feces. In the water, they can penetrate a snail's skin or get ingested by a snail itself. Once inside their host, the blood flukes mature and are eventually released by the snails back into the water, where they infect swimmers through their skin or fish, which are then eaten, causing a person to be potentially infected and thus continuing the cycle. Sometimes people get really lucky and don't experience any symptoms despite being compromised, while others aren't so fortunate and can develop a severe disease known as snail fever. This potentially lethal ailment first manifests as a rash approximately 12 hours after infection. This relatively mild symptom can persist for up to 2 months before the next stage of infection occurs, which is the acute phase. During this period, people develop a fever, a cough, muscle aches, headaches, and diarrhea, among other unpleasant symptoms. It's also in this stage that death can first take place, through rare but potentially fatal complications, such as myocarditis and pericarditis. Neurological effects have also been observed in this stage, and even once recovered, studies have shown that some people will remain unwell, experiencing persistent weight loss, diarrhea, abdominal pain, and rashes for years. Currently, treatment consists of one of two antiparasitics, But so far, there is no guaranteed cure, as the medications have trouble killing eggs and young blood flukes. Sadly, these more resistant parasites, and those that are left untreated, can create an even more serious situation for humans. And that is chronic infection. In this scenario, eggs and worms can migrate and infect various parts of the body over multiple years, causing a vast range of symptoms depending on where the parasites settle down. Many times, the major areas of the body that are usually impacted are the intestines, central nervous system, liver, lungs, or urogenital organs. Research indicates that out of all the potential symptoms this parasite can cause, the deadliest complication in terms of gross fatalities is kidney failure from fibrosis, as up to 150,000 people succumb to this complication every year. Other major contributors that make up the other 50,000 estimated deaths include pulmonary hypertension, liver disease, appendicitis, and anemia. Sadly, many organizations believe that 200,000 victims annually may be an underestimate, as some conditions like bladder cancer have been attributed to long-term infection, but are often overlooked when calculating the human loss caused by this horrific parasite. And this oversight extends to snail fever in general, with the lack of attention earning it the classification as a neglected tropical disease, despite being the second most common parasitic infection in the world, just behind malaria. However, there is some good news, as experiments aimed at controlling the population of freshwater snails have led to a decrease in infections. Additionally, renewed public awareness has also helped lower exposures to this disease, and drives home the warning that if you live in a high-risk area, it may be best to stay on land.